Chapter 12. Into the Dark. At the center of the chamber, Morbus knelt before the frothing black waters of the corrupted realm gate. The Lord Relictor's head was bowed in prayer, and the purity runes etched into his mortis armor shone harshly. He held his staff out before him, and the reliquary mounted atop it burned with a blue light. All around him, the sargassum smoldered in its purifying glow, and thin streamers of smoke danced about his kneeling form as if alive. And perhaps they were, or had been, once upon a time. Gardas had seen Morbus commune with spirits before. Once, in the Nahiliad Mountains, he had witnessed the Lord Relictor sit and speak with the desiccated inhabitants of a long-forgotten barrow. And later, he had drawn up the ghosts of the drowned to lead them safely through the canker cascade. Despite this, Gardas still felt a frisson of elemental unease as he watched more smoky shapes rise up to join the rest in their silent dance. Korunta, Lion of the Hierarchies, seemed to share his opinions. He growled softly as he watched the Lord Relictor at his task.
I hate when he does that.
He shifted the weight of his broadsword from one shoulder to the other. The Knight Heraldor wasn't tall, but he was big, with a chest and shoulders thicker by half than any other warrior in the chamber. His silver warplate strained to contain him, as if the force of his mighty voice were threatening to burst his frame. The profusion of amethyst plumes that sprouted from his helm like a mane were threaded through with silver coins. These clinked softly as he glanced at Gardas.
I still say you should let me cap this wretched hole, Steel Soul, he said, indicating the warhorn slung across his back.
Gardas looked at him.
Admit it. You want to come with me?
Korunta shook his head.
Of course I do. We should still bury it, though.
Gardas nodded.
So we should. And yet we cannot.
No,
Korunta said. He toyed idly with one of the prayer scrolls hanging from his armor.
I don't like being left behind. You might need me.
To announce my coming to Nurgle, you mean?
Well, yes.
Korunta shook his head.
It's only polite, not honorable, invading in secret.
The look in his eyes was disapproving.
How will they know who defeated them if we don't announce ourselves?
Gardas laughed.
I don't think that's something we have to worry about, my friend.
No.
He had no doubt that their arrival would not go unnoticed. A snarl of hoarse laughter made him turn.
He looked at their prisoner, crouched before Tornus. The Rotbringer had remained on the ground since their confrontation, but he seemed to have regained some of his courage despite the situation, or perhaps because of it.
The King of All Flies sees all,
the creature croaked.
If you invade his domain, he will respond in kind.
He sounded pleased.
You are being silent,
Tornus said, catching a handful of the Rotbringer's sparse hair. Gardas raised his hand, and Tornus released his hold. Gardas looked down at the creature.
What is waiting for us on the other side of that gate?
Gatrog grinned, displaying rotten teeth.
Nothing you wish to meet, I assure you. The garden is fit only for the courageous.
Korunta let the blade of his sword swing down to rest on the Rotbringer's shoulder.
Have a care with your words, filth, he said darkly. I'm inclined to take offense.
The Rotbringer looked up at him, eyes narrowed.
Give me a sword, and I will attempt a proper apology.
Gardas waved Korunta back.
I asked you a question. By your oath, give me a clear answer. What waits for us beyond the gate?
Gatrog hawked and spat.
By my oath, I will answer. The garden is sevenfold, and has been for 7 centuries. 7 gardens, which are nonetheless one, each atop the next. Some say the King of All Flies saw the hanging gardens of the Lantic Empire and did admire them. and so he shaped his realm in similar, though inverted, fashion.
His chains rattled as he tried to gesture with his newly grown hand.
And no doubt each tier is more dangerous than the last, a new voice interjected.
Gardas turned to see Angstun making his way towards them.
Morbus is soon finished, Angstun said.
Like Karunta, the Night Vexilla didn't sound pleased about it.
Are you sure it is wise to depart so soon?
Soonest begun is soonest done, Gardas said.
Foolish as I am, I would rather spend no more time than I have to in that foul realm.
He hoped that Grimm would be close by, that this assault would be swift, but in his heart he knew that it wasn't likely. Time travelled strangely beyond the mortal realms. Centuries passed in seconds, and moments stretched into days. They might return moments after they'd left, or not at all. Gatrog seemed to have similar thoughts. The Rotbringer gave a gurgling laugh.
An eternity awaits you, Storm Warrior. Deny it all you like, but no soul leaves the garden save by Nurgle's will.
I have, Gardas said solemnly. I walked in willingly and left in the same fashion.
His solemnity seemed to unsettle the Rotbringer, and the creature looked away. A crackle of lightning caught his attention, and Gardas saw Morbus push himself to his feet.
The way is as safe as I can make it, the Lord Relictor intoned.
He held up a hand wreathed in snarling bands of lightning.
My prayers will bind us together so that none are lost in the Underrealms, and will serve to abate the horrors there somewhat. Kneel, O sons and daughters of Azir.
Stormcasts sank to their knees, heads bowed, hands clasped about their weapons. Gardas moved through the rows, hammer on his shoulder.
Who kneels here to receive the blessings of the heavens? He asked as he walked towards Morbus. Only the faithful.
Gardas looked at Morbus.
We are the faithful, Lord Relictor. Say your prayers.
Morbus nodded. He spoke, softly at first, and then more loudly. His words were lost the moment he said them, carried away in the roar of the lightning as it speared from his hand. The shimmering bolt caromed from stormcast to stormcast, striking each in turn and binding them to one another. Gardas was last, and when the lightning struck him, he staggered slightly. Heat rushed through him, flooding his limbs and driving out all the aches and pains he'd accrued. His head swam as, for an instant, he heard the dim echoes of his warrior's thoughts, fears and hopes. More than that, he felt their faith in him, in their mission and in Sigmar. Faith was the torch in the dark of the cave. Only faith had led him safely out of Nurgle's realm. Now he trusted it to lead him into the garden once more, to lead them all. Gardas straightened and turned towards the black waters.
It is time, he said. Why are we doing this? Morbus asked as he stepped up beside Gardas. A bit late to be asking that, Gardas said. Answer the question. For Loras and the others.
Morbus nodded.
Perhaps. Partially, at least. But that's not the whole of it. Why?
Gardas paused.
I don't know.
He looked up, wishing with all his heart that he could see the stars. His conscience would have to make do in their absence. He drew his rune blade.
Perhaps simply to prove that it can be done, and that we are the ones to do it. We are the faithful. Who better to march into this green hell than us? You know that if Sigmar were here, he would command us otherwise. Would he? Or would he lead us himself?
Gardas looked around. His warriors were ready. But was he? He felt the familiar weight of doubt curled up inside him and waiting for its moment. Was this the right thing to do? He wished that the God King were here to tell him whether he was on the correct path. But Sigmar could not be everywhere.
Or perhaps he simply had faith in Gardas, as Gardas had in him.
He turned and surveyed his warriors.
"Who is this I see before me?" he said, his voice carrying throughout the chamber. As one, the steel souls rose to their feet, heads held up, weapons at the ready. "Who will dare the darkest road at my side?"
"Only the faithful," Morbus intoned.
The others echoed him, the steady growl of their voices rising to fill the chamber. Gatrog twitched in his chains, as if the sound of those words pained him. And maybe they did.
"We are the faithful," Gardas said, "and we shall carry the light and storm of Sigmar into the heart of darkness, as only we can. Who will be remembered?"
"Only the faithful,"
came the response.
"Who will the darkness fear?"
"Only the faithful."
Weapons thumped against shields or the floor, until voice and sound merged into a single roar of challenge. It echoed throughout the chamber, throughout the citadel itself. The waters of the Realm Gate rippled from the fury of it. Gardas turned away from the silvered ranks and started into the water.
"Pray us a path, Lord Relictor. Open the way to the garden."
The waters began to bubble and froth. Gardas felt unseen hands clawing at his legs, trying to pull him down into the depths. He smiled as he allowed them to draw him down. They would take him where he wanted to go. It was time that the dark gods knew the true strength of the faithful. Taunus cringed inwardly as he waited his turn to follow Gardas into the dark waters of the Realm Gate. He could feel the evil radiating from them. No, not evil. Evil implied malice. There was precious little malice in the workings of Nurgle. Cruelty, yes, as life was cruel. Rapaciousness, even. But the horror of Nurgle was one of cosmic consideration. Khorne cared not from whence the blood flowed, but Nurgle cared for every life, no matter how tiny. Nurgle noticed every life. Every soul that crossed the threshold of the Lord of all things received a splinter of his attention and suffered for it. Even those souls that had escaped his clutches once already. The water surged up about him as he watched Enyo wade out into the oily lake. It slopped against his armor, tarnishing the silver. He longed to spread his wings and fly away, to leave this place with its reeking odor and hazy glow. Osphinus, perched on his shoulder, gave an interrogative screech, and he reached up to ruffle the Star Eagle's feathers.
"The others might be blind, but your bird and I see the truth well enough."
"You are scared," Kadok said, from just behind him.
The knight Azeros leaned forwards.
"Have you no faith, Taunus?"
"I am being faithful," Taunus said.
Kadok's friendship had quickly turned to spite. But then, princes were known to be mercurial in temperament. Kadok chuckled.
"We'll see about that. And if that proves a lie, I'll set your soul alight and purge it once more."
He clasped Taunus' shoulder with mock friendliness and pushed past him. The knight Azeros waded into the waters, beacon raised.
"He's a foul one, and no mistake," Gatrog said from beside him.
The Rotbringer stood nearby, waiting to follow Taunus into the Realm Gate. In contrast to the stormcasts around him, the Pox Knight displayed little evident nervousness at the thought of entering the Black Waters.
"Your taste in friends has become poor, Torglug."
Taunus jerked the Rotbringer's chains, nearly pulling him off his feet.
"You are being silent, monster."
He looped the chain about his forearm, so that there was no chance of the Rotbringer slipping free during their journey. Though there was small chance of that, a treacherous part of him whispered. The Knights of the Order of the Fly were honorable, if nothing else. Gatrog could no more break an oath than he could burst his chains. Gatrog stumbled, but steadied himself.
"I am no more a monster than you yourself once were, Torglug."
He spoke slowly, almost pleadingly.
"Torglug is being dead. I am being Taunus."
Gatrog chuckled thickly.
Not so, not so.
He bowed his head. Taunus followed his gaze and saw his reflection, wavering on the dark surface of the water. Only it wasn't him, not as he was, but as he had been. A bloated thing, swollen with unholy power. Eyes like rotten pomegranates met his, but only for an instant. A moment later, Torglug was gone, leaving only Taunus.
No, Taunus murmured. It is not being so.
He stumbled into the water, splashing heedlessly, dragging Gatrog in his wake.
It is being a trick of this place.
Is it? Or is the silver you wear the trick? A trick played on a noble hero by a deceitful godling.
Gatrog grimaced.
A warrior such as the one I knew would not so easily be twisted out of shape as this. Some speck of blessed cancer yet clings to your soul, Torglug. Pray to the king of all flies that he might nourish it until it blossoms once more.
Taunus wrenched Gatrog around to face him and lifted the Rotbringer from his feet. The Pox Knight thrashed helplessly as Taunus heaved his bulk up. Stormcast drew back as the Knight Venator shook his prisoner the way a griffhound shook a rat.
My soul is being my own creature, and the sooner you are to be learning that, the better it is being.
Gatrog began to rasp a reply, but Taunus flung him into the water. The Pox Knight swiftly sank out of sight, drawn down by the magic of the Realm Gate. A moment later, Taunus followed. He plunged into the water, Osphinus behind him. There was no flash of light, no radiant coruscation. Instead, it was like sinking into mud, at once constraining and irresistible. It pulled him down, even as it sought to suffocate him. He felt as if he had fallen into a grave, thick with worms. His warplate creaked as things slithered about, testing its strength. Then, with a sluicing sensation, he was through and tumbling between realms. The dark yawned beneath him, broken at first only by a dwindling silver chain of glowing figures. The water surged, drawing him down. He spread his wings and dived deeper, pursuing the tumbling form of Gatrog. Bruised lights flickered all about him as the dark bled into distinct and familiar greens, browns and greys. The colours of rot and mulch, of fertilised soil and stagnant water. Holy colours, he'd thought, once upon a time.
Eerie shapes writhed about him, pale worms and dark batrachian forms, as vast as sunken islands, or as tiny as dust motes.
Entities of all shape and no shape at all passed over and through the sinking stormcasts, without noticing them or being noticed in turn. Taunus had seen such malignancies before, though he could not recall where, and had no wish to do so. Horrors without name sprang from the soil of Nurgle's garden. Morbus's rites kept the waters and what lurked within them from penetrating his armour or interfering with his descent. Even so, Taunus shuddered as a curving pillar of iridescent scales shot past him, rising up and away. He caught glimpses of fangs and milky eyes, heard the roar of passing leviathans, and something more besides. A voice, so great as to be almost unperceivable. It rumbled up out of the depths, speaking to him, calling to him. He could not make out the words, but he knew what it was saying. It was welcoming him home. Worse, it forgave him his mistakes, his failures. He tried to ignore it, to block it out, but it was omnipresent, a bell tolling him on. Below him and opposite him, a shadow swam. It kept pace with him easily, despite its bulk.
I am still being here, fool,
it said, in a voice like the creaking of a coffin lid.
I am being a weed which is not so easy to pluck.
Light, sickly and grey, swelled up below. He dived towards the weak, watery shimmer, following the others, trying to ignore the mocking shadow. It clutched at him, but almost playfully, as if there would be other, better opportunities to catch him. He broke free with a desperate convulsion, leaving it laughing in the dark. He felt the soul-deep ache of its grip all the way down. Angston Dran stepped into the open and took a deep breath. The murk had not faded from the air yet, but the crisp sting of the sea breeze was growing stronger. Kurunta had offered to take the first watch on the bubbling pool, and Angston had readily agreed. He had little patience for such things, since his death and reforging. He closed his eyes and leaned against his standard, trying to recall the moment Sigmar's voice had called him up out of the black. A strange moment, balanced on the precipice of agony and peace, between death and life. Of late, he had begun to wonder whether the one was not preferable to the other. In death, there was peace. To drift at one with Azir itself would be a fine thing. In life, there was only another death to look forward to. He shook his head, banishing the thought, and looked up at the comet sigil that topped his battle standard.
"To be a part of the eternal tempest," he murmured, "that is the reward I shall claim when the storm rolls on."
A selfish desire, perhaps, but it was his, and he held to it. Others had their own dreams for when the war was done and the darkness was cast back for the last time. Kurunta intended to return to his people on the fellstone plains of Akshi and unite the clans of the Caldera once more. Enyo desired time to explore the vast celestial sea. And Gardas, it was whispered in the corridors of the Sigmarabulum, that the steel soul wished only to rebuild that which he had lost, that the war leader of their chamber desired to set aside Runeblade and Hammer and once more tend to the sick. Angston found much to admire in that, even as he suspected that it would never occur. The war would never end, and they would march beneath the banners of heaven until the stars burned out and the suns became cold. While Sigmar still fought, so too would the Hallowed Knights. They were the faithful and could do no less. For now, his duty was to secure this place against the enemy, lest the steel souls lose whatever ground they had gained. Part of him was tempted to summon aid. There were other storm hosts abroad in Gairan, and those prosecutors left to him could seek them out swiftly enough. But there was no need, as of yet. He snapped orders at a passing retinue of judicators and felt somewhat better. This place was corrupted and required cleansing. That much at least they could do while they awaited Gardas's return. He heard a voice call out and saw Yare, hand raised. The old man had been moved by his followers from the wet ground to the top of a massive reptilian skull. The skull had once been part of the wall, but the sound of Karunta's horn had shaken it loose from the sargassum. Now it lay in a nest of splintered timbers, glaring sightlessly out at the courtyard. Much like Yare himself. Another prisoner crouched by the old man, whispering into his ear. Blind eyes sought out Angston.
"He has gone, hasn't he?" the old man called. "Our fellows were swallowed up by dark magics," Angston said after a moment.
He made his way towards the skull. Mortals scattered from his path.
"The steel soul goes to free them."
He forced himself to relax. Gardas had ordered him to stay, and so he would stay. But he didn't have to like it.
"You fear for him?"
Angston frowned and looked up at Yare.
"I know neither fear nor doubt, old man. They've long since been burned out of me in the forges of Azir."
"A shame," Yare said.
He winced and rubbed his face. Angston wondered if his wounds pained him. Yare had refused to be escorted to the shore, declaring that he would leave last, or not at all. His followers had remained as well, and now those healthy enough to do so were helping in the rescue efforts, or else standing sentry, watching for the foe. Angston admired their grit, but couldn't help but feel that they'd made themselves an unnecessary burden to the Stormcasts still stationed in the citadels. The Hallowed Knights couldn't both hunt down the remaining Rotbringers and guard the mortals. Yare sighed.
Doubts are the currency of discourse.
He leaned forward, coughing. Wheezing, he added,
I have not engaged in proper debate for many years.
Angstun's frown faded.
Nor I, he said softly.
His mind had been scoured free of unimportant things on the anvil, but some brief memories yet clung to the blade of his soul. He remembered columns of marble and mirrored domes, the sound of voices raised in heated discussion on the properties of reflected light. Shaken, he reached up and unlatched his helmet, wishing to feel the sea breeze on his face.
But it seems we both have time on our hands, old man. Would you care to cross blades with one who is equally out of practice?
Yare smiled.
I would like that, I think.